Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, text number 38. Oh, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vishaya trisho narapashavo ya upasate vibhutir naparam tvam te shamashisha isha Taranu anashanti yata rajakulam. O Lord, O Supreme, unintelligent persons who thirst for sense enjoyment and who worship various demigods are no better than animals in the human form of life. Because of their animalistic propensities, they fail to worship your lordship, and instead they worship the insignificant demigods or but small sparks of your glory. With the destruction of the entire universe, including the demigods, the benedictions received from the demigods also vanish, just like the nobility when a king is no longer in power. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Sadharana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Mamu Petya Panarjanma Dukaliyama Shasvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsidim Paramangataha. That after attaining me, those who are devotees or yogis, they never want to come back to this temporary, miserable, material world. This is an important realization to understand that this world is temporary. It is not so obvious due to illusion, that's the power of illusion, that in spite of the fact, ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam, we're hearing at least in the newspapers, on the radio, so many airplanes are crashing into the ocean, so many people are dying from whatever, you know, swine flu or something. One person in the world dies from swine flu and they spent $8 billion to cure it. In the meantime, more people die per minute in India falling off bicycles than from swine flu in a year. Anyhow, this is due to the insanity of material existence. But as a point is made here, we're all by nature worshipers. It is our choice whether we're going to worship the temporary or worship the eternal. But we have to be worshipers. As I've said before, generally speaking, people wake up in the morning, they look in the mirror, and they inquire, Brahma Jignasya, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And without any hesitation, the mirror immediately reveals the truth to the serious inquirer and says, after many births and deaths, you finally have gotten darshan of the absolute truth. And now you should render unalloyed, uninterrupted devotional service to the truth before you in the mirror. And if you do that, gradually the effulgence will dissipate and you'll get a full view of the absolute truth, the most worshipable object that you see before you. Then, empowered with such knowledge, equipped with determination and pure devotion, we make a vow to render such service throughout the whole day. If someone is a little pious, then they take a shower to perform abhishek. They decorate the deity, they clothe the deity, they offer prayers to the deity, especially to the fire of digestion within the stomach. Please manifest yourself before me. Then they make different offerings to the deity of different types of food. And then finally they go out into the world to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. It is called Sankirtan. Therefore, everyone is engaged in deity worship. But such worship is dukkhaliyama shasvatam, karshati. It is simply a struggle to maintain our faithful relationship with this deity, because ultimately, it is said, katadinam durlabhas. How does that start, that verse? Katita, yeah, that's, I got that part. Anyhow, faithfully we're serving birth after birth. Katinam katitas ta, something like that. Faithfully, birth after birth, we're serving the body. And there's so many different desires. There's so many different demands. And in spite of the fact that the body's torturing us at every moment with so many different types of miseries and anxieties, in spite of the fact that we're doing so many things which are not desirable in order to serve the senses, in spite of the fact that the body never expresses any kind of gratitude towards us for our unalloyed service, never giving us a vacation, even for a moment, in spite of that, we're faithfully, birth after birth, serving whatever deity we're encountering in 8,400,000 species of life. But this devotee who's praying, finally I've gotten some intelligence, and now I'm surrendering to Krishna. Our whole movement is meant to try to give us the intelligence so that we take Krishna as our interest and we put aside all the other so-called interests that we've acquired since time immemorial. Ita tora mula nishechenena triptyanti tatskana bujo prashaka prahanaratschanya tendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atateja. That if one waters the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. And if one supplies food to the stomach, as everyone knows, naturally the food goes to all the nutrients, hopefully go to all the different parts of the body. In the same way, if we factually concentrate our mind and give our love to Krishna, then automatically, to whatever degree we're able to do that, everyone else becomes satisfied. Our obligations to everyone else become satisfied. Everyone is expecting us to satisfy them. No one comes into the material world, at least, with the idea, let me come here and serve everyone. Maybe one or two avatars come with that understanding. But we have not come with that understanding. We've come as avatars into the world, undoubtedly, because we're spiritual souls, but we've come as the mudha avatars, the fool avatars, expecting everyone to serve my material body and senses. And life after life, we're struggling to acquire a few victims for our sense gratification, and life after life, we're finding that we wind up the victim for other people's sense gratification. So in spite of that, the soul is so determined, so faithful to illusion, that he never gives it up, birth after birth after birth. But love of Buddhists, sometime, by good fortune, one comes in contact with a devotee, and if it's a devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who's actually situated in transcendence, and is manifesting waves of devotion, of ecstasy, of pleasure and happiness, who's perfectly in touch with the Super Soul and Krishna, and therefore doing everything perfectly in order to attract people back to Krishna, by such fortune, one may get some taste for such association. Our process is association. Just like if you put the iron into the fire, then the iron becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes just like the fire. Similarly, if we associate with Krishna, then we become Krishna eyes. Somehow or another. Here it says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati. We may approach Krishna like Dhruva Maharaj, that we want, as you've all heard that song before, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. We may want so many things, but because we're approaching Krishna, who's the fire, therefore we'll actually get the feeling of the heat and light of the fire. And this fire is Ladini Shakti, the fire of bliss, the fire of enlightenment that goes on forever. So, of course, we have to approach the source of fire. That's called disciple succession. And our disciple succession means, as in our society at least, we recognize that Prabhupada was actually associating with Krishna. He was actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That was my experience. Every time, practically speaking, I saw Srila Prabhupada, it was a different atmosphere, to different degrees. I remember one time, the first time I saw Prabhupada was in the airport in Buffalo. I was already an initiated devotee, because devotees were initiated by mail back then, many times. And when Prabhupada was walking in the airport, I remember just seeing him. I was so struck with wonder, I actually forgot to pay obeisances to him. Although I was practicing to pay obeisances to him continuously, hoping I wouldn't forget when I saw him. But I was actually so struck with wonder that I actually forgot to pay obeisances. And other times, I remember in Boston, in 1969, the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, that we were waiting for Prabhupada in the temple. Some devotees, this is Boston. Boston had two floors. The top floor was where the deities were. The bottom floor was the press at that time. Some devotees were up in the temple room waiting for Srila Prabhupada and sent one to the airport to greet him. So I was amongst those who were waiting in the temple room. And it was about time for Prabhupada to come. And suddenly I saw Lord Chaitanya. There's a picture you can go, if you go to the Boston Temple, Lord Chaitanya is standing there like this in a picture. And the devotees are on his side in the Sankirtan. And suddenly the picture seemed to come alive. And I could actually feel the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And then suddenly Prabhupada walked up the steps. And the whole temple turned into Vaikuntha. And it wasn't just myself, but everyone who was in the room at that time could feel Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada sat down on the Vyasasan, and he looked at me, and I could see, he could actually see right down to the soul, that he had a completely different vision from everyone else I'd ever met. And whatever Prabhupada actually in that tape, in that lecture, which was unusual, well, first of all, it wasn't recorded, but Prabhupada talked extensively about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada and his association with him. But throughout the whole time, the whole atmosphere was Vaikuntha. And as Srila Prabhupada, after the lecture, he walked down the steps, and Vaikuntha left with him. So I had the good fortune to associate with Prabhupada in different places at different times. But it was Vaikuntha. Of course, that somewhat depended upon my ability to perceive it. I remember in New Vrindavan, 1972, Prabhupada was giving the Vanashram Dharma talks. And I was working, I was one of the cooks there. And cooks in New Vrindavan at that time didn't mean you got a gas stove or anything. We were cooking over an open fire, making thousands of chapatis in an open fire, which was rather a challenge. So we cooked rather late, and then when Prabhupada was giving the talk in the morning, I actually felt it was time to take rest. It was quite a challenge. So I didn't always feel that I was in Vaikuntha. Sometimes I felt, due to my conditioning, I was in some other region of the material existence. But in any case, when I was in the proper consciousness, when I was with Prabhupada, I remember one time Prabhupada came and he gave a talk about, in Dallas, about Prahlad Maharaj. That tape was recorded. And whatever Prabhupada was saying for some time, at least during the talk, I was able to actually visualize and to some degree experience what he was talking about. And I was thinking, oh, what a nice lecture to be able to do that. So Prabhupada was the personality who is the most addicted to Krishna. And he's still addicted to Krishna. Everything about his books, everything about his activities was centered around somehow or another being absorbed in Krishna consciousness and as a perfect instrument, perfectly, according to time, place, and audience, giving Krishna to others. So how to focus our minds and give our love to Krishna? Prabhupada knew that perfectly. And if we follow his instructions and example, and follow the instructions and example of those who are following his instructions and example, then to that degree, we'll also realize our relationship with Krishna. We cannot imagine Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. Whatever ecstasy we may feel in kirtan, whatever ecstasy we may feel at some time or another, that is not the full experience. Even Srimati Radharani, completely beyond anything we can conceive of, her experience, every day she wakes up and her experience is completely new in Krishna consciousness. The material nature makes us very dull. It makes us complacent. It makes us so many different things. It doesn't make us Krishna conscious. Only by the association of great personalities such as Srila Prabhupada, taking shelter of them and taking shelter of those to the degree that they've taken shelter of Prabhupada and the disciple succession, do we get contact with Krishna and begin to understand a little bit about reality, a little bit about what's actually awaiting us when we become fully conscious of Krishna to whatever degree we were able to. In any case, our mood is awe. We have to develop awe and reverence. Because, as I said, the material nature makes us very complacent. Everything becomes familiar after a day, 2 days, a week, 5 minutes. And as Kali Yuga progresses, that familiarity grows more and more as people become more and more animalistic. But that familiarity is countered by respect, or at least respect. So respect comes not from simply folding our palms together and offering a few prayers, ultimately which are directed towards ourselves, that how humble I am, I can't believe it, I'm offering prayers, such a great personality as I am, how can I be doing this? If it wasn't for my great humility, it would be impossible. But I'm seeing all these lowly living entities and I'm offering them prayers, so that proves that how great I am, that I've come down. No, we have to understand that more or less we've come to the material world and we were crazy to come here and we became completely insane by staying here. And in Kali Yuga, as it goes on, we become even more crazy. Even Yamaraj can't even figure it out after some time. What's going on? Therefore, we have to learn respect, and respect comes from seeing things through the eyes of Scripture. To try to see things through our heart, from our feeling, we're probably going to become misdirected. Because our first experience is by seeing with our intelligence. And if we have no intelligence, we won't know exactly how to feel properly, or what is valid feelings to develop and which feelings we should try to avoid. Therefore, we have to learn Shastra. We have to learn to see through Shastra and see how everyone and everything at all times and places is related to Krishna, and then how I have to relate to them to be as a servant of Krishna. So this is elevation. This is how we make progress. Ishvarita adineshu balisheshu dvitsatsu cha prema maitri kripopeka yatkroti samadhimaha. To see Krishna not as a statue, not as the source of our revenue, as the big boss there who's handing out the prasadam every day. No, as the most sweet, worshipful personality, out of his sweetness and kindness, he's come here. Not because he was hungry for our ladus, or, as Prabhupada said, our fruity halava. That Krishna didn't get nice halava in Goloka Vrindavan. He came here to test it out, see if there's some good cooks he can bring back. No, he's coming simply out of his sweet desire to help the living entities, to give them the transcendental experience of the sweetness of devotional love. So all his incarnations, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, they're all coming simply out of their divine mercy to give us their association, to arouse within us our devotion, the sweetness that we all have in our heart of devotion towards Krishna. So when we see them, then we have to try to develop that same mood that they have of devotion. And for the devotees, we have to see them as worshipable to different degrees. To those who are more exalted, advanced in devotional service, then we have to serve them and listen to them and try to find out how they've made the progress they've made. And for those who are on the same level as ourselves, we have to cooperate with them to follow the instructions which are coming down from higher authorities. And for those who are rather newer than us, then we have to assist them. And for the innocent who have bad association, who are absorbed in materialistic consciousness, we have to try to find out from the previous acharyas how to become an instrument to deliver them, to raise them up to becoming devotees. And those others who are against Krishna, who we have no power to convert, who are simply interested in converting us to animalistic activities and envy against Krishna, we have to learn how to avoid them. In any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very simple process of worshiping Krishna. And he's given us the methodology of worshiping Krishna through the Sankirtan movement, especially through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we learn how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with attention and with devotion, we learn through the eyes of Scripture how to properly serve the holy name, then the result is that gradually we'll get Krishna's association in so many different ways, and our desires to enjoy and control the material nature will naturally go away. Generally speaking, we're hardly aware of how many desires we have, how many different ways we have, all the subtle and gross ways we're trying to loiter over the material nature. But even without our endeavor, without a course in psychology, or whatever else we may think may help us, which may help us or may not help us, but if we simply take to the process as given by Srila Prabhupada and try to follow his footsteps and take shelter of him and take shelter of those who's empowered to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness, then surely we'll get some taste of Krishna consciousness and we'll become inspired to give that happiness to others too, and the world will change its course back to Krishna consciousness. and will be part of the Sankirtan festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bringing Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan, and we'll be going back with him too. So, thank you. So, we have some time for some comments. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.